Christine Kennedy, formerly with the Lynchburg Regional Chamber of Commerce, now with the Business Alliance. And we're going to talk about the unemployment rate, allegedly quote-unquote high in Lynchburg at 4.4%, above the state rate, but still doesn't seem so terribly high to me. So, Christine, good morning. Welcome back.
Good morning. How are y'all doing today?
Doing well. Hope the same is true of you.
Absolutely. And I would wholeheartedly agree with the coin in the freezer, which you'll find out about later, Brian. But this is absolutely a great tip.
Okay. All right. I have to tell you, it's a new one on me, and I've refrained from looking it up. So we'll see
how this
turns out. So these are the main numbers for unemployment. Lynchburg, of the larger metropolitan areas, 4.4%, highest in the state. And we should note, for if you are wondering, if you're listening to us in Danville, yes, the unemployment rate there is higher. It's over 5%. But I guess the population cutoff for the statistical area cut Danville, Martinsville, some of the smaller communities out. State numbers 3.8, Lynchburg 4.4. Sure, you'd like it to be lower, but I mean, as you get to 4%, we're coming up on what a lot of people would call full employment.
Absolutely, you know, and we're still lower than the national average, and so you know, we're not talking about 13% here, right? We're talking about under 5% unemployment. And so, you know, what you're seeing is what I would call a perfect storm. You've got job demand. Employers are telling us they have jobs. But the issue is a skill level. You know, people are not, either they're not wanting to work, which we're hearing from our employers, or they don't have the skills to match the jobs that are available. As you know, we have highly specialized manufacturing. We've got a cluster of those industries in our community. We have healthcare. We have education. All of these things require an education level or a credential that not everyone has that's walking in off the street, that's working at McDonald's. So, you know, are you employable? That's the question. And the way you have to answer that question is, number one, do you want to work? Do you have a work ethic? Are you going to show up on time? And some of what we're hearing from employers is the answer is no. So there's a standard of quality that our employers are looking for that many in this region are saying, I'm not willing to do that. Then on the flip side of the coin, you have those that are wanting to work, but they're not skilled enough. And so there's a gap in time where they have to be what we call upskilled. And so our workforce system in our region, including the education providers, including our career center, including the VEC, are working at identifying those skills gap in these ready-to-work, want-to-work employees and putting them into certification and credential programs that will then get them a higher-wage job. And so, you know, number one, do you want to work? And that means, do you want to show up on time? Do you want to, you know, communicate like an adult? And, you know, we had our workforce summit with over 80 employers in May, and many of them talked about the help they need is training and retraining not only high schoolers and millennials, but those that are perhaps older and never really learned how to have a work ethic. And it's sad to say that that's the state of where we are in this country, but it's true. And so we've put together a plan and working with our workforce board on, number one, upskilling and ensuring that our federal dollars that we have coming from the federal government are being used to work on credentials and certifications for these jobs that don't require four-year degrees, and then trying to crack the nut in the school system of how do we teach work ethic. You know, if someone doesn't want to work, what do you do?
Yeah, you can teach somebody a skill, you know, welding, a very valuable skill, but how do you teach them to want to work?
It is a fair point. You get to a low enough unemployment rate, and yeah, maybe it is the more recalcitrant workers, but Christine, let me ask you something, a little different look at this. With supply and demand as a general rule, if you can't find enough workers, people to take jobs, you need to give them more incentive. Then it seems like you would raise the potential wages. But we've seen employers very reluctant to do that in the country, and then also people less willing to move for jobs than they have been in the past. How do you deal with each of those two problems?
Well, I'll take the second part of your question first, because I think that's the easier answer.
Sure.
You know, part of what we're doing in economic development these days is collegiate recruitment. So how do you put a package together and marketing together, both online and when we're visiting other communities, that tells the story of why someone should want to move here? And it takes, you know, a certain kind of profile of person that's going to want to move to Lynchburg. And you hear what we all say, right? Great place to raise a family, low cost of living, great place to retire, runner-friendly community, tech-hire community. That's all great. But you tell the recent college grad that is choosing between Washington, D.C., Austin, Texas, why they should choose Lynchburg, Virginia. And so our messaging has to be on point, both as a community and as a company. You know, you can spend $40,000-$50,000 on a new recruit, but if you've put lipstick on a pig to try to get them here, you know what I'm saying? Like, you've got to be somewhat realistic and tell the positive story about who's going to be really happy here. And what I try to tell, you know, whether I'm on a plane or on the train or on a college campus, when they ask about Lynchburg, why should I come there? I said, well, what are you looking for? If you want a great place to start your career and you can move up pretty quickly in some of our companies here and then choose to relocate somewhere else, you know, that's great. You know, we're a great starting point for you, but we also have lateral moves within the community in certain fields where we have clusters of industries. So, you know, we've got to tell, I think, the best story, but also a realistic story about why you should come here. That's number one. And then what was your first part of your question? I think that's my brain.
The other part of it is you hear employers that come like, hey, I can't get enough people to work here. Whether it's, I mean, it's anything from farm jobs to factory jobs, we can't find the people either who want to do it or have the skills. And my first thought is, well, the easy solution there is offer more money.
Well, again, you can offer money, but if someone doesn't show up on time and someone has no work ethic, I'm sorry, I'm not going to waste my money on somebody who's not going to show up. So I think you're seeing some hesitancy. Do our companies offer competitive wage for similar MSA size? Absolutely. And we've had companies call us and say, I need some wage salary comparisons. We can pull that information. You know, that's one of the services we have. So we can pull wage information to make sure you're competitive. You know, we do a wage and salary survey every 2 years. So, you know, companies are staying pretty on point, making sure that they're offering competitive wages. So, you know, are they having to compete for talent elsewhere and make that apples-to-apples comparison? Absolutely. Because you do have to kind of educate someone. You know, if you're moving someone here from a larger metro, right, that's making significantly more, you've got to take into account the cost of living. You've got to take into account all of those factors and see if the living wage here, what you're going to be paid here, is going to match what you were making, let's say, in L.A. or D.C. And again, I mean, the housing costs here alone, you know, if you look at what those costs are compared to some of those other markets. So part of it is we've got to be a little more forthright and out front with all the benefits of why you should want to come work here. It's not a salary decrease. That's what we try to, I mean, I'm not saying it isn't, but in those cases, companies, I think, can do a really good job of saying you're not making less here. You can live on less here, right? So the wage is competitive. I have not seen where we have a competitive wage issue in this community.
Oh, I don't know that it's anything specific to us. I think that part goes on with employers all around the country. Let me ask you something else. We were talking earlier, Nevada is the most recent state to legalize the recreational use of marijuana, and it turned out that they have at least initially underestimated the demand for it. How does that affect employment? I mean, employers still, if they want a drug test, as far as I know, they can, and they can decide to employ you or not, but does that just shrink the size of the potential workforce that much more?
Well, you know, that conversation is going to be had in the state. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, Nevada, you're going to see more and more states that are having to have this conversation. And, you know, industries are certainly going to have to look at their policies And, you know, certainly in a manufacturing environment or an OSHA environment where safety is of top concern, there are certain jobs where you're not going to be able to be less stringent on those kind of regulations. So, you know, as a community, you know, what's our workforce going to look like? What are our occupations going to look like? And if the state decides to legalize marijuana, how's that going to impact employment? That, you know, that question is yet to be answered, Brian, but I think what you're going to see all across the U.S. at workforce and economic development conferences, these are the conversations that you're going to start seeing in workshops and keynote addresses, is how do communities deal with the legalization of marijuana, and how is that affecting employability? You know, Colorado, I think, would be a great case study because they've had it legal for a while. You know, are industries moving out of that state that have strict employment requirements where safety is a concern with drug use? I don't know. I don't think we can answer that question yet. But I certainly think you're going to see some case studies and some conferences where these are topics that are going to be of conversation.
Yeah, I'll tell you, California is legalizing it in January. We'll find out an awful lot more when a state that size is going through it.
Yeah,
Christine, do the employers have any ideas why there seems to be a lack of motivation from young people to get into the workforce? Is it because they live with mom and dad and they don't have to make money, or why is it? Why are there the lack of kids motivated to get out there and find a job?
You know, if you look at some of the information I've been reading, now this is not local employers I've talked to, okay? So this is kind of some of the research, bodies of research I'm reading. If you look at the new economy, there are more and more communities and companies that are hiring on a consulting basis or a contract basis. And so you're seeing a shift to entrepreneurship in many of the urban centers in our country. And so what that looks like, and I just had this conversation with two millennials at a coffee shop 2 weeks ago, and they work on contract. They can go anywhere they want to go. They're in the IT field. So they don't have to get up at 7 o'clock and punch a time clock at 8 a.m. and work till 5. They don't want that. And quite frankly, they're going to dictate the market. Because, you know, depending on the employment profile of your community. So they're looking to live in a place that's cool and hip, which they chose Lynchburg because the downtown is being revitalized. The cost of living is low. It's a central location where they can get to D.C. and the beach or the mountains, and yet they can work anywhere because of technology. And so I think part of the trend is companies are going to have to decide, how bad do I want a worker, and am I willing to have a worker that works on their own terms? And then you've got the other issue, and this is what I'm hearing anecdotally. You know, there are more and more broken homes. There are more and more children growing up with a family picture that does not promote full-time employment, working hard, providing for your family. And so when you see that, and they're growing up in that environment, and the option is, you know, live on the street, get unemployment, and sell drugs, you know, some of those options they're choosing, because if I can sit and have a cell phone and get paid by the federal government to not work, why not? And so, and that's depressing. I mean, you don't want to hear it. And I'm not saying that's the total picture. But if you look at the dropout rates and you look at employability of 15 to 24-year-olds, you're seeing that there's a need to get those kids in the workforce, because a majority of the funding that's coming to us from the federal government is going to that age group to try to get those that are out of school and not working into employment.
All right. That's a tall order. Yes. Christine Kennedy, Lynchburg Regional Business Alliance, thanks for weighing in this morning on these unemployment statistics, and we will talk to you again soon, okay?
Thanks. Always a pleasure. You guys have a great day.
You too.